chapter 4, 11 and 12. And I think Pastor Rick maybe is going to make a couple more if you didn't get one. But and if you didn't, it's okay, because we're going to be in two verses, and mainly we're going to ask a lot of questions. So open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4. As you open there, question for you, who can tell me the first two applications of the gospel as it is presented in Romans? Who can give me the first one? First application of the gospel in Romans. I'll give you a hint. No, the application of the gospel. Present your bodies a holy and living sacrifice. Way to go, Lauren. Lauren gets a gold star. You could go for double gold star. Do you know the second one? And do not. Do not conform to the world. Right? For, that's okay. You're right there. Romans, all right, 1 to 11, the doctrines of the gospel. Romans 12 to 16, the duty of the gospel. The first two duties of the gospel are the summary statement of all other applications of the gospel of Christ. And the first one is, present your bodies a living sacrifice, right? Paul says, Romans 12, 1, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, according to the mercies of God, the mercies presented in chapters 1 to 11, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means your hands, your feet, your tongue, which is what we're talking about in James, right? Present it all as a sacrifice to God. In other words, Lord, use my tongue for what you want me to use my tongue for, and help me to not use my tongue for what you don't want it used for, which leads to the second exhortation. And be not conformed to this present age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, James is primarily application, and there's a huge emphasis on not being like the world. James is sort of, you could say that James is filling in a lot of details about what it looks like to not be conformed to the world. And when we come to verses 11 and 12 today, be thinking about how the world acts and how we're to be not conformed to that. So James 4, 11 and 12, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. That's the exhortation, right? Now, explanation. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Now, listen, James is very condensed. How many of you remember back in the day, I don't know if this is still out there, but it used to be when we would go to gatherings, they would have this jug of like red stuff. It was ultra condensed, like juice. And you would pour some of that, and then you would have to add a lot of water. Anybody remember that? Like, I don't even know what that stuff was. Or you would buy, I don't know if they still sell this, because I'm not a big orange juice fan, you would buy this little frozen thing like this, a little cylinder. They still sell that? Okay. It's called concentrate. James is concentrate. This is gospel duty concentrate. He is seeking in these two verses to put an end to all evil speaking by Christians of one another. And the concentrate is he goes from you speaking evil of a brother to suddenly that's speaking evil of God's law to suddenly, that is usurping God. I mean, that's just, it's awful quick, right? So we need to think through what he's talking about. What is he saying? How does this equate? How is it that you're usurping God by speaking evil of your sister in Christ? Because you certainly don't think of it that way. I mean, imagine I come to you and I go, you know, that Caleb Barnes guy. And you go, you're usurping God. And I go, wait, what? Well, that's what James does here. So we need to follow his line of argument. So 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Now let's start with, here's always a good question to ask whenever you study the Bible. What is the connection with what precedes? Now notice, there isn't one expressed. It doesn't say, therefore, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. However, there's always a connection, right? Just so you know, good Bible study, hermeneutic, there's always a context, there's always a connection. So now, verse 11 says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. What is the connection to the immediately preceding context? See if you can figure it out. Miss Laura. Very good. Okay. The previous verse, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another. That would be pride. Laura said that's, and that is the connection, right? No, humble yourselves. Pride is when you're lifting yourself up above someone else. You're looking down on them. You're speaking negatively, evil of them, badly. The word here is not necessarily moral evil. You're speaking badly of somebody. It could be as simple as, you know, that, I'll pick on me, you know, and he is so scrawny. I mean, that's true. But did you have to say it? Now, my kids say it. They go, Dad, you're so scrawny. And okay, so by the way, I've gained a little weight since the start of the year. I'm eating and trying to not be so scrawny. But, you know, the kids say it in love. But this is, the idea here is behind the back, in pride, exalting yourself over someone else. Let's go broader context. How do you think this connects to the main theme of James, which is trials? How do you think this connects with trials? Okay. All right. Laura said that maybe it's like a defense mechanism. Maybe you, did you say you, say that again. Okay, misery loves company. Okay. Okay. How many of you have, you think you've had someone speak evil against you? Anyone think you've never had anyone speak evil against you? Okay, so all hands basically went up on the first round. How many, I mean, did that hurt? Sure. Is that a trial? Yes. And what are you supposed to do? And count it all joy. Isn't that great? Dominic was bad-mouthing me to Billy Bob. I'm just kidding. You wouldn't do that. Would you? I'm just kidding. I've got to keep Dominic on his toes here. Did you work all night? Oh, man, that's rough. I don't know how you do it. Yeah, you're to count it all joy. Okay, so this connects. It can be a trial when somebody else has spoken badly about you and maybe you find out about it. But you're commanded to count it all joy, knowing that this test of your faith produces patience. What's that? Long-suffering. The ability to suffer long with other people. Uh-huh. You know what? Actually, if you've had it, how many of you have had it more than once that people have spoken poorly about you? Yeah, more than once. Are you able to handle that better now than you used to be able to handle that? Yeah, that's a good thing. Hey, that's okay. I'm good with that, actually. See if this sounds familiar. It is a small thing to me that I should be judged by you. 1 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul. That is the mature man's attitude. Hey, that really doesn't have a big role in my life. That doesn't set me back. That doesn't cause me to want to quit. So there's a connection here with the bigger context of trials and counting it all joy. When somebody speaks evil, you need to count it joy. That develops long-suffering, your ability to love them and suffer along with them. It also connects to temptation because when we fall into speaking evil of a brother, we have succumbed to temptation and a desire of our own heart, which is probably for us to be elevated and for them to be brought down, right? Oh, I'm higher and they're lower. Pretty sad, right? But we all can fall into that. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have spoken badly about other people behind their backs? I mean, probably every hand goes up, right? To our shame. Well, this says don't do that. Stop it. If you were there for my skit, Denise and I skit, stop it. Stop speaking badly. And that really is what this says. So what exactly is it to speak evil of a brother or sister in Christ? What are we talking about? Gossip. False accusation. Criticism. Jealousy. Did somebody say jealousy? Okay, yeah. It could be anything, right? It's actually a very broad word. Do not speak badly. It's just a word for you're speaking very badly about this person. By the way, it could be, want to do a role play? Come on. Quick role play is helpful. Hey, Dominic, listen, Denise and I, we're going to be going away for a little bit, and could you watch Misty for us while we're gone?
No.
Well, why not? She's a really good dog, and like you like Misty. Why not?
You got
nothing. See, I tried to convince you. Go ahead. So now, he's unwilling to do what I wanted him to do, and now he's gone, and we're all here. We need to pray for Dominic. He's really struggling apparently with loving his neighbor because I asked him to watch Misty. I mean, how many of you have met Misty? Isn't she the greatest dog in the world? I mean, there's no greater dog in the world. Oh, other than Miss Renee's dogs. And Dominic was unwilling to watch Misty for a couple of weeks while we're out of town. See, I didn't give you the time frame, right? A cat, yeah, right. You could have said no because I have cats. And I would have said, Misty eats, I mean, she loves cats. So speaking badly could be something as simple as somebody wasn't willing to do what I wanted them to do, and now I'm sharing that with you, and I go, yeah, could you believe? I mean, well, and you jump in, right? Really? Dominic wasn't willing to watch? No, wouldn't watch. He's a dog hater. Right? Yeah, probably get him back a little bit, right? Just kind of, yeah, I mean, why do we do that? We all fall into that. This is the category, right? They didn't do what I wanted them to do, or they did something I didn't want them to do. He asked me to watch his dog. I mean, what kind of a person does that? I mean, do you think I should watch? I don't think I should have to watch his dog. Do you think I should have to watch his dog? No, Pastor John, you're exactly in the right, and he's in the wrong. You shouldn't have to watch his. It can be as simple as that. Speaking badly about a brother or sister in Christ. Nah, James says don't do that. Kata, if you look, I have the Greek word there. Kata laleo. La 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 la. There's a name for that kind of word. It almost sounds like what it is. Kata is the Greek word for bad speaking. Kata la 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 la. Kata laleo. And it is. It's sort of flapping your tongue with bad stuff, and the bad stuff's coming out as it flaps, about whom? A fellow Christian. This is not talking about people in the world. This is not talking about your neighbor who parked his truck in your yard or let their dog wander in your yard too long, etc. This is talking about your brother or sister in Christ whose father is the same as yours. This says, don't speak badly about that person. Defame, slander, run down verbally, you know, running this person down. You can do that if you view this person as a, what's the word? Competitor? Rival. That's the word I was looking for. I couldn't think of the word rival. This person's your rival. You know that you make better pie than she does, and so you run down her apple pie. That apple pie is really dry. I mean, did you taste this apple pie right here? Now, this apple pie, the one that I made, is really good. You know, there's that tendency. This would not have to be given. This command would not have to be given so sharply if this wasn't a problem. But it is. So do you think this was going on among the brethren? It was. You actually can tell by the verbiage. It literally reads, stop speaking evil or badly of one another, brethren. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Yeah, why would we ever speak badly? make yourself feel better, justify yourself, pride, jealousy, envy, nothing better to talk about, bad habit, right? It can be almost just like you don't have anything else to talk about. Let's talk about something that happened during the week. And it was so-and-so who did such-and-such, and isn't that awful, or whatever. I heard a definition of gossip, which was pretty interesting, because the person who gave it said that there is never, what you don't have is the motive to help the person, right? That's absent. Like, it might be one thing if truly, let's say that, okay, let's say John is scrawny, but you're like, he's scrawny, like, hey, maybe something's wrong. And you're talking, hey, you know, he looks sickly. Well, that's different, right? You're like, hey, I'm concerned. Has anybody said anything? No. Well, you know, he's really, 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 really scrawny, which I'm not that scrawny. He looks sick. Has anybody said anything? Has anybody asked any questions? And then you come, okay, well, that's different. Now there's an intent to care, and let's pray, and maybe we need to say something. And this is the idea of there's no positive motive here. There's no, hey, we need to work on this, help this person improve, etc. This could be as simple as, yeah, I was over at their house, and I mean, their dog stinks. Well, help us out. I don't have a sense of smell. I would have no idea if Misty smells bad, just so you know. If you should tell me if my dog smells badly, because I would not know it. Denise would know. Right, Annie? All right, what all is wrong with this? And I'm just going down through the questions that you have here. What all is wrong with that? Okay. It's self-centered, self-motivated, doesn't lift them up. What else? Because we're trying to get at how bad is this? I mean, come on, it's not that bad, is it? Is it that bad? Breaks unity. It's not good for edification. Destroys joy. Turns God's face away. Isaiah 59:2 says, don't you know that your sins turn God's face away from you? Right? This is big. Bruce? Uh-huh. Okay. So it's good for us to think about how bad this is, because what James is going to do is help us see how bad it is, and it's probably worse than we think. It's, you know, unless you automatically went where James does, James is going to show us just how big of a sin it is for us to speak badly about a brother or sister in Christ. And it's really bad. Just like when we were talking about conflict and strife, he took us right to, this is spiritual idolatry. This is adultery. Well, we don't automatically go there when we're striving and fighting and conflicting. So James, once again, this is condensed, this is concentrate. He is taking us to just how big of a sin is this. By the way, how big of a problem is this in the church at large? Massive. This is a massive problem in the church. I'm not saying in this church. By the grace of God, I would say this is not a massive problem in this church, to my knowledge. But this has split churches right down the middle. And it could be starting with something as simple as one person running another down, and then it begins a conflict and a strife, and then people start taking sides, and next thing you know, you're split into two halves. There are a lot of psalms, by the way. We won't go through these, but the last question under 411 there says, how many psalms stem from this? You will see that David is constantly crying out to God because people among the people of Israel are speaking evil against him as a leader. It hurt him as a leader that he knew people were falsely accusing him, trying to bring him down. And look, all of us know this, it hurts, right? If you know that somebody has been speaking evil about you behind your back, it hurts. By the way, you should not be the one to disclose to somebody that somebody was speaking evil about them. In other words, I should never come to Joel and go, hey, Joel, you know what Philip says about you? Right? You should never do that. Right? Yeah. And I'm kidding, of course. Because that doesn't edify. And because this also breaks this rule. Now notice what James says next. He who speaks evil of a brother, that is of a brother or sister in Christ, and judges his brother. Well, why did he add that in there? Right. Yeah. 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 To the church's shame, that should never enter the church, right? You are never going to hear a lesson in this church on CRT or race or whatever. No, we're just going to teach the Bible because it's going to cure all the problems, right? This cures those silly problems that are constantly discussed in the culture today. I was, by the grace of God, I'm not sitting around talking about those things the culture is talking about because I don't want to be conformed to this world. And the Word of God is the antidote to all the silliness and craziness that's happening in the world. Now, notice, why did he go to he who speaks evil, brother, and judges? Like, he didn't have that in the first line. Why does he add it in the second line? What do you think? Way to go, Anita. Gold star. Because that's what you're doing. Right? All he's taking you the next step and saying, hey, just so you know, when you are there speaking badly about a brother or sister in Christ behind his or her back, you're guilty of judging that person. That's what you're doing. You know, by the way, let's say that I sincerely asked Dominic, hey, would you be willing to watch Misty for me? And he goes, hey, you know, no. Where does the law say that you have to watch somebody else's dog? Keep that in mind. Hey, would you watch my kids for me? No. Where does the Bible say you have to watch somebody else's kids? Doesn't say that, right? We could say, where does the Bible say blank, and what goes in the blank is anything that you think other people ought to do for you,
right? Well, my thought too, though, is when, so when you ask him to take a dog and he said no, and you say, well, why? He doesn't have a reason at that moment.
Yeah.
Okay, you can just look at him right now and know he's exhausted from working on
him. Right. Yeah.
So tired.
Right, yeah.
But then you might be assuming, oh, he's a dog hater.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when people, you know, we can judge all we want about why someone says or does something.
Right.
But only God knows the heart.
Right.
We don't really know, and making assumptions about that is hurtful.
Yes, exactly. So, and you're also, actually, you're also, I come to Kimberly, and I go, hey, how's it going, Kimberly? And she says, how are you doing? Not very well. What's the matter? Well, you know, Dominic, I asked him to watch Misty, and he said no. And Kimberly goes, well, maybe he's just real tired. I mean, you know he works nights. And I go, I used to work nights. I've worked nights and watched people's dogs. Right? Because I want her to agree with me. I want her to see my side and take my side. And she might go, well, I don't know, but she should correct me, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, Dominic's not me.
Right.
She could go, well, Dominic's not you. Yeah, that's my point. See? Yeah, right. So, but at heart here, James is pointing out, we're judging the other person negatively. Otherwise, we wouldn't speak badly. We're judging them negatively. So James is taking a step in the direction he wants us to go in our thinking, that when you are speaking badly of a brother or sister in Christ, you're putting yourself a little bit above them, and you're putting them below you. Yeah, they wouldn't do what I wanted them to do, or they didn't do what I thought they ought to do. Would you believe they... Hey, John, could I come in? No. That's not hospitality. Well, the reason is, maybe I have a reason. we have a leak in the kitchen and we're trying to fix it right now, and now's not a good time. Oh, hey, no problem. But we are judging a brother or sister in Christ whenever we're speaking negatively. So he says, he who speaks and judges, you could say, and in this way, judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Wait. Now help me out. How did he just go from all I'm doing is speaking badly about my brother or sister. How is that speaking evil of God's law? Help me out. Leroy?
Well, the law says love thy neighbor as thyself.
Right.
So you're not doing that. It's like saying, oh, you know that Pastor John, he's a white guy, therefore he's a racist.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully
everyone sees the fallacy of that argument. Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You are now speaking against the law, and you brought something out. Very good. What law did you just bring up? The law of love. Right? You are now speaking against the law of love. You're now speaking against, in all things whatsoever that you would have others do unto you, do also unto them. This is the law and the prophets. You're speaking against the golden rule. You don't want anybody. How many of you would, don't raise your hand. How many of you would like to have brothers and sisters in Christ speaking negatively about you behind your back? Nobody. Nobody wants that. So when you're doing it, what James is trying to help you understand is, you're judging your brother or sister in Christ, and you are speaking in a manner that goes directly against God's law. Don? Yeah. And what Satan did in heaven before he ever fell. Right? Sure. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. This is demonic wisdom, chapter 3. Right? This, James says, this wisdom isn't from above, and neither is speaking against your brother or sister in Christ. This was, you could go right there. I go to Kimberly, yeah, Dominic wouldn't watch Misty. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, he's just a bad person, and he isn't loving and kind and gracious. And she could go, hey, this wisdom isn't from above. What? Yeah, this wisdom that you're applying, that's not. That would be good. Stop me in my tracks. Beth. Okay? Yeah. 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 By the way, just so you know, this is a very, very practical, down-to-earth tip, and I've mentioned it many times before, and I'll mention it many times again. When you ask someone to do something for you, you will greatly help them if, when you ask it, you completely let them off the hook. If they can't. Dominic, hey, got a big favor to ask you. Take time to think about it. Let me know your answer. I'm good with whatever you say. Is there any chance you would be willing to watch Misty Puppy for, like, it's going to be like a week? No worries if not, because we got lots of other options. But think about it and let me know. And totally, I'm fine with whatever you decide. You know what I just did? I gave him time to think about it. I told him it's no problem if he doesn't do it. I'm totally good. Now I got to follow through and be totally good if he says no, right? We actually asked one of our kids just the other day, hey, we want to come out and visit you all, but we're thinking about driving and bringing the dog. But we want to know, what's your view of that? Would that be okay by you? And if not, that's fine with us. We'll make other arrangements. But we're thinking about bringing the dog with us. What are your thoughts on that? Now, we have to be cool with whatever that person decides, right? I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have had the kids, the grown kids, come home with their dog or dogs, okay? Maybe they ask in advance, and maybe they don't. But it's a kindness if they say, hey, Mom, Dad, when we come home, is it okay with you if we bring the dogs? Plural.
And the cat.
You know? And if we do, you have any requests? You know, thank you for asking. I would request that you keep the dog outside, for example. Or that you wipe the mud off the dog's feet before the dog comes inside, or whatever. Whenever you ask somebody to do something, let them off the hook. Don't have an expectation that they should do what you ask. That will help you too, so that you don't start speaking badly about the person who didn't do what you wanted them to do. Because after all, you said no worries if not. All right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, correct. Right. Anita just brought out, sometimes the judging is taking place simply because people are not doing what you want them to do. You didn't even ask them. They're just not doing what, you know, you come in today and you go, hey, why aren't the lights and the fans on? Actually, I came in a couple weeks ago. Hey, it's cold in here. Why isn't the heat on? I was upset with the heat. You know, well, I'm responsible for the thermostats. If anybody wants to take that over, no worries if not. But I'm responsible for the thermostats, and for some number of weeks, we had somebody shutting off electricity to the building out back here. That has been solved. Hallelujah. Brother Frank put locks on the boxes, and we haven't had that problem since. But I thought, man, it's awful cold in here. Somebody else could have walked in and said, hey, like, who's in charge of the heat around here? Pastor John. Well, like, he needs to get on the ball because it's freezing cold in here. Like, what is he doing? What is he sleeping in? What is he not doing? Not knowing that somebody keeps turning off the power. Yeah, sometimes we're judging. We don't even have any idea what's going on or why things are the way they are. Or, you know, okay, here's one. You come in on a Sunday and you're like, who was responsible for the cleaning this week? Because, like, the wastebasket in the ladies' restroom, it's always in the ladies' restroom, is overflowing. Just kidding. And then you go over and you look on the list and you go, it was Melissa. She was supposed to do that. And you're upset and you text, hey, so I guess you forgot the cleaning this week, huh? What? We were on vacation. I don't know, right? Suddenly you're thinking negatively because somebody didn't do what you wanted them to do. This is hard to avoid. But this says you're speaking evil of the law. Oh, now he takes us the next step. What else are you doing? Judging the law. Wait, what? How does he get there? See, he took us from all you're doing is speaking evil of your brother or sister in Christ. Well, you're also judging them. You're also speaking evil of God's law and you're judging God's law. How does that work? Okay. It's because you think you're justified in what you're saying, right? I mean, you wouldn't speak badly about your brother and sister in Christ unless you felt justified in doing that, right? So, if God was as smart as you, he'd have a law that Dominic should watch your dog whenever you want Dominic to watch your dog, or whatever it is, or that the heat should always be on, or that people should always do what you expect them to do, or they should always let you in if you show up at their house, or you know, whatever it is. You're speaking against God's law, and now you're usurping. Even the law is lower than you. I mean, it's kind of wild. It may be a little hard to follow. But James is getting to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is, you are so prideful. Your pride is so great that you think you're justified in speaking badly with no good motive. Speaking badly about a brother or sister in Christ, my goodness, you've exalted yourself above God's holy law. Because he doesn't tell you to do that. Instead, God says, don't speak evil of a brother or sister in Christ. Don't judge a brother or sister in Christ negatively. Only do what you would have a brother or sister in Christ do for you, and you wouldn't want any brother or sister to speak negatively of you. See what he's doing? He's saying, wow. I mean, in two verses, he's trying to put an end to all speaking badly by Christians of their fellow Christians. It'd be great if we could follow it. Leroy? It could be speaking against, again, it's, the context here is speaking against a brother or sister in Christ, speaking against a fellow Christian, okay? And he's not saying, oh, go ahead, it's open season on non-Christians. He's not saying that. But he is focused on a specific context. You speaking badly about a brother or sister in Christ behind that person's back, and there's no good motive. You know, how many of you have heard, you know, just heard like jokingly, oh yeah, we're going to have roast pastor. What does that mean? It means as soon as we get home on from church on Sunday, we're going to roast Pastor Rick. I wanted to pick on you. I'm tired of picking on me. He has bigger shoulders. You're not so scrawny. You're bigger than I am, so you can handle it. Yeah. Man, that Pastor Rick, he, whatever you're not happy with, or he doesn't, whatever you're not happy with, right? Now you're speaking negatively about Pastor Rick. Why doesn't his wife? Now you're speaking badly about his wife. And whatever. That never happens. Help me out. According to James 4, 11 and 12, it never happens rightly. Right? It never happens justly. And one of the things that we all like to do in our pride is bring down the leaders. Well, if I was in charge, if I was running the church, if I was a pastor, I would whatever it is you think the pastor should do. If I was a pastor's wife, sometimes people like to pick on the pastor's wife, I would do everything that I think a pastor's wife ought to do, right? Including play the piano, which Miss Brenda does, but Denise does not. And sometimes there's an expectation, like, she should play the piano. Why doesn't she play piano? Doesn't she know? Or violin or an instrument of some kind. Next line. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. Oh, what did James say? You know, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. James now has jumped to say, you know, if you're going to speak evil about a brother or sister in Christ, suddenly you're not a doer of the law, which probably he does have in mind here, what Leroy brought up, the law of love, the law of liberty. You're not doing that law. You're not doing the golden rule. Instead, you've become a judge of that, as though that rule isn't good enough or isn't broad enough. See what he's doing? He hasn't gone to where it really goes yet. Verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? What's the answer? Yeah. So go ahead, give me the answer. I got one answer. You're not. Who are you to judge another? The sinner. You're nobody. I mean, in comparison to God, who is the ultimate judge, and I can't reach high enough. Yeah, you're nobody. In other words, you're in no position to place yourself in judgment over a brother or sister in Christ for what he or she doesn't do. Even if what you think they aren't doing, they ought to do. I mean, there are all kinds of things that we all ought to do that we don't do. Okay, agreed? We should be more loving, more hospitable. If my wonderful wife was willing to make more meals than she already makes, I would have you all over every night to our home, and you'd all be in our home, right? But as it is, she makes meals for, at times, 20, 30 people a week, right? And I say, well, honey, we should have people over on, look, Wednesday night's open. Oh, wait, Thursday night's open, Friday night. And she might go, I'm tired. Or I just made meal for 30 on Sunday or whatever. Wait, oh, it's my turn to make meals. Why don't you make the meal? They're getting eggs. And then you'll go, why did he have us over for eggs? Because it's all he knows how to make. Just as Kimberly said earlier, maybe there's a reason why people aren't doing what you think. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they don't know how. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're struggling with other issues, right? How many of you have had somebody speak evil against you, but your defense would be, they don't know what I'm going through right now, right? This says, who are you to judge another? Nobody. Why the warning, he is able to save and to destroy? Because the heart of this is pride, and I have Proverbs 16:5 there, which says, even if they join forces, they will not go unpunished. The proud, the arrogant, will not go unpunished. Right? There's a promise in Proverbs 16:5 from God that says, if you're wise, you will know God is not going to let the prideful, the arrogant, get off. Right? So you should not expect that it's going to go well for you if you are judging a brother or sister in Christ. Somehow, some way, God is going to bring that around, and that's not going to be good. Right? Brother Brian. Yeah. We could also get into, well, why would God care so much that he does not want you to be like this world around us, that he does not want you to be judging one another in the church? Why would he care so much? Bigger picture. Okay, he is holy. He hates sin. How does this affect? Think about it. How does this affect, where do you think I'm going to go? Our testimony. How does this affect your testimony? Do you think that there are people today who are not going to go to church because their experience has been that the church is just like the world? Mm-hmm. Yes. So a lot of times we think about divisions amongst church denominations. In some cases, that is over doctrine. Like we just did not agree in what the truth was. And so that's an understandable division. But other times, it's a division because they were fighting and couldn't get along. And so they split up, right? I mean, there is, you know, would we be okay with saying that Jesus isn't God? No, we are not okay with saying Jesus isn't God, right? So there are entire religions that say Jesus isn't God. Would we be okay with saying that you're regenerated when you're baptized as an infant? We're not okay with saying that you're regenerated when you're baptized as an infant because that's not true, right? So there are denominations and divisions within Christianity over doctrine, but there are also divisions that take place because people just couldn't get along. But furthermore, there are people who do not go to church anymore because, and their defense, and in some cases, you can certainly understand it. Their defense would be they had a very bad experience in church with brothers and sisters judging one another, and they felt that was so hypocritical, they didn't want to be a part of it anymore, and they say, all Christians are hypocrites. That's why I don't go to church anymore. I had such a bad experience that I'm never going back. God forbid, right? That we should get to where we are speaking badly about brothers and sisters in Christ, and others hear it, and they think, man, they might not say anything to our face, but they leave and they go, wow, they're supposed to be Christians, and they're running down their brother or sister, their pastor, their deacon, pastor's wife, deacon's wife, whatever. Unbelievers can see that, right? And it affects your testimony. It affects your witness. It also speaks badly of God's name. Gee, God can't control his children. God's children are out of control. Right? We expect our own children to be under control, and God's kids are out of control. All right, thoughts, comments? Leroy?
Is there a sense wherein you're not supposed to even judge yourself? I'm thinking of Paul, who said, "Judge not yourself, but rather judge others."
Yeah. Of course, you should try to keep a clear conscience, right? And that's in that same context. Paul says, I don't know of anything against myself, because he's trying to keep a clear conscience. He says, but I'm not acquitted by that. Yes, we should examine ourselves for sure. We should strive to keep a clear conscience. If you feel that you've done something wrong, by the way, hey, if you have spoken badly about a brother or sister in Christ, you should go to that brother or sister in Christ. Hey, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I know that you weren't aware of this, but I was running you down. and I had somebody else confront me in that, and I need to ask for your forgiveness. I had somebody come to me one time, hey, I need to be honest with you. I was speaking very badly about you behind your back, and I apologize, and I ask for you to forgive me. And I go, quite all right. Please don't continue, but I'm fine with that. Not a problem, right? That's good. Hey, we're all going to run back to James 3:1. We all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in this way. We all fall. We all stumble into speaking badly about one another. James's point here, the Spirit of God's point here is, don't do that. Recognize just how sinful that is. Recognize that this is pride. You are in no position to be running down your brothers or sister in Christ for what they don't do. You can turn this into something instructive, okay? And I will invite you. If you see something I'm not doing, please come to me and say, hey, I want to talk to you. I've always wondered why you don't blank. And I should have some kind of an answer. And if you're not good with the answer, you should say, well, you know, I would encourage you to reconsider. Rethink that. Thank you. I will. There's things that I don't do that I probably ought to do, and there's things that I do that I ought not to do. And I have appreciated over the years, there have been people who have come to me and confronted me and corrected me, and that has helped me greatly. You can be thankful for their work in my life. All right, other thoughts, questions? Beth? Yes. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, he should have been confronted by the first person who recognized that it was happening. I mean, harshly confronted. Like the moment, if anyone in this church, if it came to my knowledge, I'll speak for myself, if it came to my knowledge that somebody in this church was sinning, I'm going to that person one-on-one. And they have got to cease the sinning. And if they don't cease the sinning, I'm coming and getting Raj. I'm getting Raj and I'm going to get Pastor Rick. We're going to go together and confront. And if they don't stop the sinning, we're going to come and announce it to the whole church. And we've done that in this church. Church discipline. Yes, it is lacking. Yes, that should not be lacking. It is crucial to the health and the holiness of the flock that you confront sin. And that's on each of you. If you are the first to see that somebody is sinning and continuing in sin, you have a responsibility before God to go to that person and confront them in their sin. Matthew 18, which we've covered before. Maybe we have to cover that again sometime. All right. 20 after, thank you for your attention. I hope it's been fruitful. May it bring to an end our speaking badly of one another. May it lead to constructive, loving confrontation if you see a need to lovingly confront. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these powerful verses of James. Thank you for how you help us to understand how sinful, seemingly simple actions are. These are what one author has called respectable sins, but they are not in any way respectable. Father, help us to honor you by guarding our tongues, by being careful, by loving one another, building one another up, pursuing those things which make for peace and for the edification of the body. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.